What's up, you guys? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, Episode 14, Sports Medicine, January 23rd, 2012. Our special guest is Jeremy Jackson, a sports medicine teacher, and our special hosts are me, Mariah,
Alondra,
Sarah,
and Michelle.
And I am, of course, the one and only Jackson.
Yeah.
All right, so here's kind of what's happening here. This one is actually interviewing me, where I'm sitting in the guest chair, and they are sitting in my chair. But right now we got to do the warm up, which is actually coming a day after we did the interview because we forgot to set this up beforehand. So some of the breaking news that we wanted to get to is I've written several grants. I think I've talked about that before, and over the course of the years, they've kind of added up to a lot. But the breaking news is last night, I went to the PISD board meeting where I was recognized by the ATPE Foundation, which is the Association of Texas Professional Educators, for a technology grant that I received. So that was a $2,500 grant, and I think Michelle, she's got the story on the internet. Is there anything, did you read through there, anything you wanted to?
No.
Was there anything that, any highlights? Nothing?
We should read the part where it says Jeremy Jackson received.
See, excellent. Good job, Rice. That's what I was looking for. Something. Anything. Just make it exciting.
Passing a high school.
Yeah, not just any school.
Jeremy Jackson.
Not just any school. Pasadena High School.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about. We gotta have some life on here.
Jackson, you're on the internet.
I am world famous. Okay, well,
to whoever looks at it.
City famous.
Exactly. Anybody
whoever looks at it. They're like, who's Jeremy Jackson?
But it's in the Pasadena Citizen, and then I'm sure the picture that they took last night will be in there. So, actually, if you get the Pasadena Citizen, some of you may or may not, it may actually have a little article in there, and I'll have to, it's a good thing I'm going to have to look it up. So, Pasadena Citizen.
Cut himself out, post it somewhere.
I'm going to make like 700 copies and put it on everybody's door.
In the school?
Yep.
We could do it during fourth period.
All right, maybe. Watch it not even be printed. It's just going to be on the internet only.
No!
Okay, so, like I said, if you have comments about any of these, you know, y'all can just kind of chime in. Over the 8 years that I've been a teacher, which I'm currently in my eighth year, I've been awarded several different grants, and I figured I could go ahead and make a list of them since our breaking news was about grants. And I'll start off, when I was in Fort Bend in my second year as a teacher, I wrote a grant for a game show buzzer that allowed kids to buzz in, and it showed who buzzed in first. So it's, if you're ever playing Jeopardy or one of those type games, instead of the raise your hand, well, I can't tell who did first, or stand up, or shout out the answer, all those kind of things, that they're real difficult. So I wrote the game show buzzer. That was about $500, and I was awarded that, and that just started me on a roll or whatever, because the next year I wrote one for a wireless slate, which kind of at the time was relatively new. It worked with Bluetooth, and I could stand most of the places in the room and write on the computer screen, which was projected, because at the time we didn't even have interactive whiteboards. And so that was about $1,000. And then I came over here to Pasadena, and I started using the learner response systems, the active votes. And so I wrote a grant that bought, I think, two sets of active votes and active slate. And all that at that time totaled about $4,000. So, you know, we're getting up there to $5,000+ in just the first 4 years as a teacher. Then Fund for Teachers is a outside organization. It's not doesn't have to do with any school. It's open to all teachers. And their actual goal is to send you on a trip during the summer. And so some people go to, like, Costa Rica, stuff like that. People go all over the world to see and learn and then basically enhance the teacher as a person to bring those experiences back to the classroom. So you guys, I'm talking to you as the students, yes. You know all the cooperative learning stuff we do, where we do the rally robin, the round table, and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
We play those silly sports, those goofy games. We,
snowball.
The snowball, the formations, all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Well, the place that I learned all that is in Florida at a professional development called Kagan. And the reason I got to go to that was because I wrote this grant for Fund for Teachers that paid $5,000. And essentially, Sarah and I saved up, and we also went to Disney World. So we were in Orlando.
Disney World is actually really, really fun. Y'all people should go.
We were in Orlando, or actually out of Houston, for a total of 17 days. And most of the bill was paid by Fund for Teachers because I wrote a grant and I went to this training for 10 days, you know, so we took a day to travel there, a day to travel back because we drove. I think we stayed with some family on the way there and back, something like that. But, you know, I learned a lot of cool stuff, and I think it really makes a difference in the classroom.
Jackson, sorry to interrupt, but, like, was your son born at the time or no?
No, we did not have any kids at the time.
So why'd y'all go to Disneyland or World?
Disney World?
Yeah, because Disney World.
It's also for, like, them, because there's, like, a bunch of restaurants where you can't go inside.
Actually, Disney World is where the conference was hosted. That's where they have it.
Oh.
So I really didn't have a choice. It's not actually in Disney World, but it's a hotel that's right there by Disney World. But if I'm going to go all the way to Florida, to Disney World. Why would you not go to Disney?
But it's an fine. Adult.
Okay.
So
have you ever been? Did you ever go to Astroworld before it was closed down?
There's not an age for going to
San Antonio.
Disney World.
Have you ever been to Fiesta Texas?
Yes.
Okay, those are amusement parks or theme parks, right?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Oh, same thing.
Yeah. Now I will say, Disney World, the main Disney World, it is really more for kids and children, but the Hollywood Studios and Epcot and some of those.
Oh, yeah. It's more for big, older people because they did not get the point of Epcot.
All of it has stuff for little kids, but those have more fun rides.
Did you go in there?
Yeah, we went to pretty much everything. We went to the two Universal.
I want to go to Universal Studios.
Yeah, those are a lot of fun, too.
Downtown Hollywood. Downtown Disney.
Lucky.
You are. I've only been to Disney. All right,
thanks, Napoleon Dynamite.
Land.
So. I've been to both.
I'm going with you.
Next year, I'm going to go again.
So, actually, it's kind of my plan to maybe do something similar in a couple years when my kids are a little bit older. So, I can go back to the training or go to some kind of different training there. Get almost a free trip out of it.
Smart.
Yeah. But, you know, it's not necessarily free because I have to do work. So, if you heard that little beep, that's Sarah taking pictures and, you know, that's what we do. That's how we get the pictures that we put on there. So, anything else about the trip to Florida? So that was probably my favorite grant that I've done because it is the one that has changed pretty much everything I do with teaching. Real quick, without being negative about any other teachers, do y'all enjoy the things that we do, you know, where we do the round robin, the rally table, or it's called cooperative learning. Is that something y'all enjoy?
Yeah. Coach O'Hader does it too.
Does he?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do y'all feel that helps y'all get to know each other?
Yeah, yes. Sure. Answers to people.
Yeah,
stuff.
I know a lot about Michelle now.
Do you feel that it helps you with your communication skills?
Yeah.
Yes, because I wouldn't have the guts to talk to
me
people.
Either.
I have great communication skills.
But since they're my partner, I have to talk to them, so you get to know them. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, really, that instead of me sitting up there lecturing, because I really could just stand up there and make you copy notes, which we do sometimes, but I could do that the whole time. But that training, that opportunity from Fun for Teachers has really, truly changed the way I teach a class and the way you guys learn. And so I'm really grateful for that. And I'm thankful for your feedback, you know, always positive or negative feedback. So, all right, moving on from there, another $5,000 worth of grant was Express Yourself, where I got, I think, two sets of active expressions. And when I was up in the biology classroom, it was a sound system that had in-ceiling mounted speakers, a microphone, two microphones, one for the teacher and one for the student. And so that really kind of changes the game, too. And we have one of those here, but it's a different system. What do you guys think about the microphone?
On the microphone.
Not these.
The ones that we have right here?
Yeah, the ones that are right there. Yeah.
Those are fun.
Oh, those
we're pointing,
are better.
But you can't
I like acting like I'm a news report lady.
Yes, I was very impressed with the way you did that at first. At the beginning of the year, Sarah was like, so this is Sarah reporting live from da-da-da-da-da. What do you think about? And she acted out the whole thing, and it was really funny. And
We should take a picture.
It
of
sounds
these
better
and put them
when you do them
so they can see them.
When you use those,
hold them up and Fernando. Oh, you Sarah's taking pictures. I think Fernando's videoing.
Oh, you're videoing? Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is it.
These are really fun.
Because some people are really quiet. They don't like to talk really loud, so that helps.
Yeah. So that you can hear everywhere. And then, since, like I said before, we share this area with football.
When they're really loud.
And they're going over their plays or whatnot, then that helps me to not have to yell over them so that y'all can hear me. And so, again, it's really cool. It's just another tool, another way to benefit you guys. And then also, you know, the communication skills we work on, they're also improved because you're speaking on a mic for everybody to hear you. So that was Express Yourself. Teaching models was about $5,500 because we had a $500 donation from one of the doctors. And that actually benefited all five high schools, our sports medicine programs. We got a large plastic leg that we can take apart. We got a knee joint, a hand, a shoulder joint, a muscled hand. I don't know, a couple other things. I'm going to have to... I have somebody typing on my computer. It's network services.
There's a ghost in your computer.
So yeah, y'all fill in this blank space here. Y'all can talk about... What do you think about the models? Do y'all like the teaching models?
Yeah.
I like the hand. It's
the
like,
hand
it's
is
like
huge. And then can't you take it apart?
I said we go get it. I'll be back.
Or that big thing the like where the, he showed us the
that
ACL.
Oh, yeah, that one foot. The skeleton looks funny, though. It's all skinny. But you can see all of the bones.
I wish I was that skinny.
That's too skinny.
I'd be able to teach the class.
Oh, yeah, like you can't take it apart because Mariah is taking it apart. The hand is huge.
Guys, so they're going to take some pictures. And, you know, I think there's pictures on the blog, but I haven't updated that very much. And some of the stuff
right
like that.
Is this the right foot or left?
This is my big
your
hand.
Right
foot. Because
it's kind of crooked.
It's, like, not supposed to be straight.
Of course, we always have the lovely
hand.
Bells.
Okay, Mariah. I'm going to take a picture of it.
All right, so while they're taking pictures, I'll go ahead and go on from there. There was a couple other things, and so it was really cool to get those things that benefit the sports medicine class because we don't really have much funding at all for this class. We have our athletic training budget that we would have to use, and so we just don't have a lot of options. And that really helped us to get some cool stuff for each of the high schools in our district. Then I went on Donors Choose, and... I requested an iPod because... Go ahead, Sarah.
Mr. Sherwood, he's my old math teacher's husband.
Oh, yeah. Yes. She teaches at Jackson, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah.
Who is he?
How did you...
Hey, Mr. Sherwood.
Because she used to tell us that her husband donated money, and then you said his name on one of the podcasts, and then I was like, hey, that's him.
It's a small world. It's actually, I think, supposed to remain anonymous... But
well, we can edit this out.
No, he's not. He actually does not.
No, but it's okay. I think I've said it before. Like you said, you said Steve Sherwood. And he's actually the guy that I buy my insurance from, and that's how I know.
Are you serious?
Because he works for Horace Mann. Yeah, it's kind of a small world. But it's good because he works here in Pasadena and supports the teachers here in Pasadena.
Well,
and so
his wife is a teacher in Pasadena.
His wife went to Baylor.
That's funny. He's all supposed to be anonymous. Oops.
Yeah, and so that I don't know if you ever looked on Donors Choose. It says Mr. J. It doesn't even say Mr. Jackson because it says Mr. J's classroom. And so again, I hope I'm not ruining anything. But oh well. Anyways, we
Sarah, it was all your fault. If they want to sue you,
started,
go ahead. You can sue Sarah.
We kind of started with the idea of podcasting about a year and a half, 2 years ago, but we didn't really have a great idea of what was going on. And so I wanted the iPod so we could take pictures and make photo stories or Windows movie videos kind of thing, because I didn't know exactly what was going on, but I wanted the opportunity for the kids to see those things. And that was before everybody had a smartphone. So then, you know, I realized, hey, most of the time they don't have the cords for their cameras or they have their... picture format doesn't look good on the computer, so I wrote another one for a digital camera, but this one was a waterproof, shockproof, dustproof digital camera, because athletic trainers, as you know, we need
everything proof.
Yeah. It needs to be tough. And so that's why we bought the Olympus Stylus Tough through another Donor's Choose grant. Then I went to TCEA, Texas Computer Educators Association, which is a big conference, about 15,000 geeky people that like technology stuff. Yeah. And then I find out about, the term geeky is referring to like technology-minded, like people that really enjoy technology. And it's not saying nerd, it's saying geek. Like Geek Squad at Best Buy, that kind of thing. All right, so then the podcasting part one and part two, I wrote one that got us a soundboard and some of the initial equipment, and then I found out we only had one microphone, and, you know, to really do it correctly, to do this thing, we needed like 3 or 4 microphones. So, God bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
All right, that was really loud. To do this correctly, we needed more microphones, some of the pop filters that take some of the pop sound out of when we're talking on the microphone, some more mic stands and things like that. And so between the two of those podcasting grants from Donors Choose was about $700. Then I wrote one to the Education Foundation here in Pasadena ISD, and that got us quite a bit more stuff. It got us a fresh new computer that Michelle's currently sitting at, and that way we have enough speed and power to process the pictures or the videos or the things that we're working on. And that was about $2,900. And then finally, the breaking news that they talked about at the beginning was the ATPE Technology Fund, which is actually supposed to get us 4 tablet-type computers. That way we can access the textbook, or we can view, edit, and play with our podcasts or tutorial videos, things that we're doing on here. And I think I just got a new email. Did that come up on... Could y'all hear that in your earphones? Or?
Yeah.
So I think it was in the... anyways.
Wasn't that ATPE thing on the news? They were talking about using it for kindergartners?
That's the bill.
That was kind of cool.
Possibly. I'm not sure. I don't watch a lot of the news. And so they've awarded 2 of the technology grants to everybody that applied throughout the whole entire state. So I was one of 2 people in the whole state to receive this grant.
Oh, cool.
Yep. And so, you know, it's really just about doing the work to find somebody to do it. Doing the work and selling what you're believing in. So we've also had the opportunity to help a couple colleagues write grants and do things like that. But we didn't factor those into the total. So what I just ran down, it was about 12 grants totaling $27,830 approximately. Because I didn't count in the entire totals of everything. I just kind of, off the top of my head, what I could remember. And so 12 years, $27,000. In some parts or some places of teaching, $27,000 is your annual income. And so that's money that's just been given towards education. And so all the people and things that support us, you know, that's amazing what you've given to help support education. And so we want to thank you for that. And I think it's really improved the learning and the environment. So obviously these students here, as you'll maybe see in the video or at least in the pictures, that they're sitting here on podcast, knowing that it's going to be put on the teacher website and knowing it's going to be put on iTunes, and knowing that it's going to be on the PHS Athletic Trainers app. So, you know, everybody can have it on their Android phone, maybe iPhone one day, but all that stuff will be there. So it's really changed what they are able to do because of people's generosity and because of a little bit of hard work on my part, so... Anybody else have any parting thoughts about grants?
I like this foot.
Thank you, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm gonna sneeze.
Thanks.
All right.
My special guest name is Jeremy Jackson. He's been. His job is as an athletic trainer and sports medicine teacher. He works in Pasadena High School in the Pasadena ISD district. His profession. He's been high school for 4 years. his 5th and 5 years at Houston Baptist University, 3 years in Fort Bend, and 5 years in Pasadena ISD. He has a beautiful wife and adorable son and one more kid on the way. He leads Financial Peace University at his church and is coming up on his 6th time. He's led with technology and implementation.
Give me a little background about yourself. Where are you from? Did you play sports? At what level? And what college or university did you graduate from?
All right, so we'll kind of go back a little bit. I didn't work in the high school for 4 years and then college for 5 years. I was a student athletic trainer for 4 years in high school. Then I was a student athletic trainer in college for 5 years at Houston Baptist. And then I worked in Fort Bend at George Bush High School for 3 years. And now this is my 5th year here at Pasadena. So that was just kind of to straighten that out.
Thank you.
I'm from Houston. Like I said, I went to... my 4 years of student athletic trainer were here in the school district at Dobie High School. So, I went to the schools that fed into there, Moore Elementary, Beverly Hills Intermediate. So, I'm born and raised in Houston, Houston Baptist University. So, pretty much my whole life has been here in Houston. Played Little League sports for like 2 years, Little League football, and then intramurals in college. Not like a huge sports guy. As far as being involved on teams, I played on teams and I played for fun. I still do a lot of sports just for fun, not part of leagues or anything, but really just kind of recreational sports. But while I was at university, I lived on campus all 5 years and then actually moved away for a year. And then I got married and moved back onto campus for 2 more years while my wife finished school. So I lived on campus at HBU for a total of 7 years.
What made you be an athletic trainer?
I don't know why I started to be an athletic trainer. They made an announcement when I was at Beverly Hills that if anybody was interested in being an athletic trainer, to come to the office, get an application.
Sorry about the bells.
It's for lunch.
So I went to the office, picked up the application. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't know what I was doing. But I went. And then I filled out the application, had the little interview with the athletic trainer. At that time, his name was Rob Kimmel. And I was accepted to be a student athletic trainer. And then that's just what I did. I just stuck with it. And so, it was kind of something I did my freshman and sophomore year. And then about my junior year, I decided, hey, I need to figure out what I'm going to do. And I was like, I like doing this. This is fun. I like being around the sports. I like being to where I get to go to games, but I don't have to coach the games and I don't have to play the games and that kind of thing. So it seemed to work out. Plus, as I got to college, I found out that probably my most favorite subject is anatomy. I enjoy science, biology, life sciences, but anatomy truly is my favorite subject. And so, really, I guess it's just God working in my life because, I got a full scholarship to Houston Baptist for 5 years. And, really, I can't take credit for that on my own. I worked hard to make a good impression on the people that were in charge of me, but, I don't know that I did anything worthy of a full scholarship to, a good university. So,
how long were you in college?
5 years. And when I was there at Houston Baptist, I did 2 years working with the baseball team. I did 1 year working with a volleyball team, and then 2 with men's basketball. I think the 1 year with volleyball was probably the funnest year because the volleyball season is pretty short. It's usually over by about Christmas, and then you kind of have the whole second semester to do whatever. But it was a lot of fun. It was my junior year, so I kind of knew a lot of people on campus and got to participate in a lot of events that I wouldn't have because I would have been at baseball practice the year before or whatever. And so, 5 years in college.
If you could go back with working with the Texans, would you?
My first senior year, because I had, I was 5th year, so I had 2 senior years. My first senior year, between my junior and that first senior year, I had an internship with the Houston Texans, and it was an awesome experience. When I was in college, the one thing I wanted to do, or didn't want to do, was work with high schools. I didn't want to teach. I didn't want to be in the high school I wanted to work professional sports, but I think that's a lot of athletic trainers' dream. So I had the chance to intern with the Texans, and it was really like the best internship ever. You know, it was really cool to get to meet those people, to be a part of that team. It was their second year, Andre Johnson's rookie year, all this stuff. And it was really cool to be a part of it, but I figured out that for me, in my personal opinion, that is, you don't have any effect on the people's lives. Like here, I can truly help shape the life of somebody. You know, some of these students, some of you guys might want to be an athletic trainer or might go on to do something and then come back and say, hey, you know, I really appreciate who helped me out or helped me point me in the right direction. And so I would not go back to working with the Houston Texans because honestly, their schedule is harder, is more demanding than mine. They don't have as much free time with family and stuff like that. And so that's kind of my main goal in life is to provide and to love my family. So I'm going to find a job that makes that the best thing for me. So I would not go back to working with the Texans. Maybe volunteer if I could do only work in the games. Maybe I'd volunteer for just the game day, but.
Trying to be a family man?
I am. I'm without a doubt a family man.
You're a family man. That's good. What are some things that offered you? What are some things you can offer us as athletic trainers here at Pasadena?
Some things I can offer you guys.
Yes.
Well, here's one. I don't think you've ever been on a podcast before, right?
No.
Well, actually, I think most of you actually have spoke on the podcast, right?
Yeah. Like once or twice.
So yeah. It's a completely new experience as a whole because you wouldn't have been before this class. You might have posted your stuff on Facebook or YouTube, but this is like professional stuff. You're wearing headphones and speaking into microphones. Got a soundboard recording.
I know.
Cool.
I feel
you're gonna
cool.
Edit it and all this stuff. So
I feel like a boss with these headphones.
See, there you go. And so there's something, you know, it's creativity, new, fun stuff. I'm a really hard worker, and so I expect that same from my students. And so if I can learn to draw that out, then they're going to be more successful. So if I can teach you guys to work hard, to learn, to do your job, and then to have fun, then, you know, that's definitely one thing I have to offer. But as a whole, an athletic trainer, I provide injury prevention, treatment, rehabilitation. We do first aid, education about numerous topics, CPR, nutrition. You know, we take the student athletic trainers to GHATs, which we've talked about.
That was fun.
Yeah, and so, you know, before, I don't know that Doc had taken many student trainers before because, like I said before, he didn't have anybody that was truly dedicated to being an athletic trainer here. And so, there's a lot of things that I can offer, not only the student trainers, but the sports medicine students, the kids that are interested in sports medicine, but not necessarily athletic training. So,
other than athletic training, what was your dream job?
all right, sorry, I got lost for a second. I was looking at the question below. I was like, that one doesn't fit.
Which one?
The one that's right below it. When I was little, I don't know, like 4, 5, 6, something like that. You know, everybody dreams of being a pilot or a fireman or something like that. And I wanted to be a pilot. And, you know, that was one of those things when I was a little kid. And that would be really cool now. It'd be enjoyable to be a pilot, to get to travel all those different places and, you know, have that all that job. But I don't think I'd really want to do that now. You're gone from your family a lot. And so, like I said, that's something that's really important to me. If I had to pick another job today, I would probably apply for the police academy or the fire academy and be a fireman or a police officer. And this is just something that really interests me, something that I think I could do well. I guess it's a little dangerous, so it's a little exciting, but you know, it's just one of those things. I guess any job is dangerous. You know, kids get shot at school sometimes, so. Or I could get run over on my way home when I'm riding my bike.
I got hit by a car.
It was parked.
That's not funny. I guess means.
Car was parked, so.
It was not parked. So
ultimately, if I could create my own job, I would just kind of be at the house, hanging out, taking care of the house, taking care of my wife and my son at this point, and then just get paid for that. If I could find some way to do that, then that would be my dream job.
Have you ever been treated by another athletic trainer?
I have not had an injury to where I needed treatment. So, like, if I've turned my ankle playing basketball, it wasn't even bad enough to stop playing, so I just keep going. But, I mean, several times a year we do lessons. Like, with you guys, we did stretching last week or 2 weeks ago. So, you know, somebody had to stretch me out. So, in a sense, I'm being treated, but it's really for demonstration or teaching purposes. So, to answer
the... What is the worst sport injury you have ever seen or dealt with?
When I was in high school, we had a kid die due to heat illness and probably some other complications. My friend was actually, he was a student trainer with us, and he was the one performing CPR until EMS arrived. I helped, you know, we put the kid on a four-wheel dolly, like a flatbed dolly, and wheeled him into the training room. So I helped wheel him in, and I remember seeing his eyes. They were rolled back, and he could, like, his eyelids were open, but his eyeballs were gray because his eyes were rolled back in his head because it was, I guess, unconscious at the time. I don't really remember all the details, but you know, the kid ended up dying. So without a doubt, death is the worst injury that I've seen. We've had a broken femur here. We've seen some broken ankles that were pretty bad. I've never seen a compound fracture, which where the bone sticks through the skin. I haven't seen anything like that. So,
what has been your favorite memory as an athletic trainer?
So yeah, I thought hard about this one, and I don't know that like there's anything one thing that sticks out, but the podcast really is a lot of fun for me. Getting to get you guys involved to create this thing to work together, I don't know. That's a lot of fun for me. And also some of the other stuff I'm doing. I just created a mobile app for Android, and I don't know that. I don't know if I'll ever do the one for the iPhone because it's expensive, and we were talking about that, but. Maybe I can find somebody who's created one or who I can trust to give my information to and they can do it, whatever. But that stuff's fun. And I think really probably one of my favorite things that has happened is having student trainers either come back from like a weekend or whatever and say, hey, you know, at the mall this weekend there was somebody passed out and I was able to help her. Or, hey, my cousin choked this weekend, you know, and I was able to do the back blows and abdominal thrusts like we learned in class, or when they graduate and come back and see us. So those are probably my favorite things is when they come back and see us or come back and tell us, hey, we use this stuff that you learned. You know, what you're teaching us is real and it's making a difference. So,
what is the best and worst thing about being an athletic trainer for a high school?
Best? Like I said, I didn't want to work with the Texans because I always felt there wasn't a real relationship there, and maybe that was just me, but working with the high school is the relationships, building the like I know stuff about you guys. I know what's going on in your life. I know that Mariah just got hit by a car, you know, because she was walking home because she lives right over here, you know, that kind of thing. And so I know those things that are going on in your life for the most part. You know, obviously I don't know every detail, but I built personal relationships. And then also the people that I work with here at this high school, I really like the people that I work with. And then the other trainers in our district, I really enjoy working with them too. So there's for me a lot of good things, and I really don't see myself changing jobs. But worst thing, I left that one blank, and I still haven't come up with, a good thing. Worst thing about working with high school, I guess maybe if you're working with high school kids and there's a lot of drama and
fights.
Do we
complain a lot?
Well, anybody. My job is dealt with complainers, people that are complaining about an injury. And so, you know, I guess that doesn't really faze me too much. But maybe the drama or the immaturity of the kids at times. You know, I understand, you know, we're working with ninth graders. But sometimes they're acting like third graders. And you get seniors acting like eighth graders. And it's just, oh my goodness. I think maybe that would be it.
We're a bunch of complainers and whiners.
No. That's making an assumption that everybody is, and that's not true.
Oops.
For the most part, it's not.
True. That is mostly me. How do you manage time for yourself?
First and foremost, you got to set your priority. What's most important? You got to allot that time. So, you know, I got to put my things in order and then say, hey, this is most important, so I'm going to give this time, this time, this time, this time, and this time, you know, in that order. And so it'd be God and then family and then job and so stuff like that. It's just, for me, I have to make those things important, and the way I prove that they're important is by looking at my calendar or seeing, you know, where I invest the time. So then after that, you know, the class, I really like this class. I really like teaching it. I really like the students in this class. And so it makes me want to work harder to prepare things, to create things that you would enjoy. It doesn't always work. You know, there's been plenty of times where, like, oh, well, we'll just have to try and figure that out tomorrow. Or you know, well, I don't know what that means, so we'll look it up or something. Anyways, so then after you guys, obviously my job really is athletic trainer, so I got to take care of the treatments. I can, you know, this morning here, 6:30, treatments after school, we'll be here for games and treatments and stuff. I guess the philosophy that I've kind of gone by is I don't ever take work home. Like, I don't grade papers at home. I don't do any of that stuff at home. The only time I do something at home is if it's on the internet, like making that app. It was halfway blocked by the school, so I couldn't really do it here at the school. But I did it there at the house. But that's kind of on my own thing, my own time. And so I just don't take work home as a policy.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years or so?
I don't have any plans other than to retire from working at Pasadena High School. You know, obviously things change and they might not even want an athletic trainer anymore. I don't know. But I like the job. I like the students. I like the people I work with. I love that I live 3.5 miles away, and I can ride my bike to work like I did this morning. My wife can come up and visit me during the day. She can eat lunch with me, or she can come up and, you know, watch games and bring the kids to see me. And so I really don't see myself somewhere else other than here at Pasadena. And so in 10 years, I'll be 40. I have 18 years of experience in education athletic training. Again, not much will be changed. Hopefully, I'll be a better athletic trainer, better teacher than I am today. And then I think about 13 years from now, we will be completely debt-free, including the house. And so that's a huge goal for me, but hopefully sooner. And then, like I said, hopefully we're a better program in 10 years than we are today because of the experience and the foundation that we're setting in place. So,
would you ever work as something else other than a sports trainer?
All right, I'm not a sports trainer because that's too easy to confuse with a personal trainer or somebody that, you know, a coach, because they train you in sports. We're athletic trainers and we provide medical care. Those guys aren't trained to do the things that we do, and, you know, I don't try to coach or be a personal trainer, any of that stuff. So, you know, athletic trainer is the title, and I want to make sure that that's clear. But if I had to work at a different job, you know, if I had to do something, like I said before, my family's most important. So if I had to do something to provide for my family, it's going to be whatever. Shoveling poo at the zoo, McDonald's, Walmart, anything that I have to do to take care of my family. So
that would stink, though.
Literally.
Have you ever treated a stroke?
No. Typically those are in older people that have strokes. And, you know, really the oldest athletes we're dealing with are like 19 here. And you don't usually have a stroke in somebody that's 19 or younger. Possibly a coach could have one, but again, I've never dealt with it. So I've, you know, never had anything like that. I did have a personal experience where my grandpa died. He had a stroke, which ultimately caused complications, you know, a year or two later, causing him to die. But he was in a wheelchair. But again, I was 10 or 12 and something like that. And I don't remember much of the details. So
what would you say to anyone that was thinking of becoming an athletic trainer?
If you want to be an athletic trainer, then you need to get out there and do it. Do some volunteering. Come over. If you want to be a student trainer, then go to your high school and say, hey, you know, I'm interested in being a student trainer. What can I do? You have to pass to play, so you have to meet the requirements. But if you don't get out there and do it, you don't know what to expect. We had a girl come out last year. She was dressed all cute, wearing sandals. She came out one day, and she said, I don't want to get my feet dirty. I'm not going to be an athletic trainer. Well, you can't be on the football field and not get your feet dirty. There's going to be some days where you're wet or muddy. some days you're hot, whatever it is, just get out there and do it, try it. If you don't like it, find something else that you do like.
This show is targeted at athletic trainers. What one piece of wisdom, advice, knowledge would you like to share with people who are dealing with injuries every day?
I think it's capturing kids' hearts, but it's they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so if they think you're a jerk, then they're not going to come to you and they're not going to listen to what you're saying. But if I built that relationship and if they respect what I'm saying, then they're going to, you know, be a lot more likely to do what I tell them to do. So
how many essays have you written for grants of all the stuff that we have in the room?
All this stuff in the room?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a couple different grants, and I mean, there's a lot of different stuff, but I would say three of them actually on Donors Choose. One was the iPod, one was one of the digital cameras, one was the soundboard and some of the equipment, or some of the headphones, microphones, and then another one was for the active expressions, and then another one purchased this computer that Michelle's on and some of the other sound equipment and some of the other stuff that we're using, and there's more stuff coming that we just put in the order for today. So I don't know, were you keeping track of that, Alondra? How many was that? Come on, Alondra, this is your time to shine right here.
She wasn't keeping track.
I think that was 6 there, but total has probably been 10, but you know, I get a lot of help with those too. My wife helps me edit, and you know, Doc kind of does a lot of the paperwork to free up some time, and really it's just about hard work, about getting work done. So anything else?
Okay. Well, thanks to our special guest, Jeremy Jackson.
We would like to mention the people who have helped us, who have helped support us, the Pasadena Rotary Club Donation Fund at PISD Education Foundation to create our podcasting audio.
Tip of the week, words of wisdom. Don't wait for something big to occur. Start where you are with what you have, and that will always lead you into something great.
Visit our website, www.pasadena.isd.org/phs/athletic training.
Or follow us on Twitter at PHS Sports Med, or call their office phone at 713-740-0310, extension 01312. And coming soon, the PHS Sports Medicine mobile app. Look for it on Android, search Jeremy Jackson on iPhone. It'll be coming soon on iPhone, BlackBerry, and Windows Phone. And that's it.
That was a good show, you guys.